take your Bible and go to the book of Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. When you find it, stand to your feet this morning. We'll reverence the reading of God's Word. Good to see everybody with us today. Glad you're here. If it's your first time visiting, we're glad you're here. If it's your 100th time, we're glad you're here. And all our regular folk, glad to see everybody. I always find it a joy to get to come to the house of God, to have the health and the ability to live in a country where we're free to come and worship God as we see fit. And I thank God for that today. Acts chapter 27, if you are a student of the Bible or been in church at all or in Sunday school, then this will probably be very familiar scripture to you. And this is when Paul and his companions, they're headed to Rome because he has been arrested. He has, if I could say, he has appealed to go to Rome for his trial, and that's what they're doing. They're taking him to Rome. But I want to begin to read in verse 1, and then I'm going to preach what God's give us here. Begin to read with me. "And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Simon. And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fire Havens." Well, that sounds like a good place, don't it? Every time I read that, I always think that. I believe I'd want to visit that place. I believe I'd want to go there. I mean, and just see what's going on in the Fire Havens. But he said the Fire Havens, nigh whereinto was the city of Lycia. "And now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lie toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, straight sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest the next day, they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away." You can be seated. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you again for being saved. Couldn't save ourselves, couldn't keep ourselves. And I thank you for the wonderful mercy and grace that you have given us. If there's somebody here lost today, I pray you might save them. I, Lord, there'd been enough gospel already told and sung about to save this whole church. If somebody's in here lost, I pray they'd move. Lord, we ask this morning that you'd just guard our mind and our thoughts. Lord, I pray you'd give us good liberty to preach. And Lord, we really just need you to come by for a little while. Lord, we've tried to honor you with our singing. We've tried to bless your holy name and tell how good you've been to us. Lord, this morning I just beg of you to help. Just help in the preaching. We need you. Lord, we ask this morning if there's somebody that is headed in a direction that they should not be going, I pray that you'd turn the light on and show them they're headed in the wrong direction. And Lord, that they would repent and draw close to you and make things right. Lord, we thank you for all you've done. Let us leave out of here not only different than what we come in, but better. And we'll give you the glory. Help us preach. Lord, we can't do it without you. It's just going to be failing words on failing hearts, Lord, if you don't come by. And I pray you'll touch this morning. Help us now. Save that sinner to nearest tail. For all this in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And amen. As Luke writes the book of Acts, and he tells the story of all the Acts of the Apostles, and we find right here is he is traveling with the Apostle Paul. Luke was Paul's physician. There's also another gentleman that is traveling with them right here, a man by the name of Aristarchus. And the Bible said right here that he was a Macedonian of Thessalonica. You find in the book of Colossians that Paul calls him his fellow prisoner. In the book of Philemon, he calls him his fellow laborer. And he's going where Paul is going. And he's wanting to sail with them, and they're trying to get to Italy. And as we've read, we find out that everything has been contrary to get there. The winds were contrary in verse 4. They sailed slowly in verse 7. It says, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us. And verse 8 said, we hardly passed by under Salmon. They just couldn't get headed in the direction that they wanted to go. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been that you just couldn't get headed in the direction that you want to go? Let me say, sometimes that is the devil trying to stop you. But sometimes it is the Lord trying to warn you. And I get it. It's tough trying to figure out what's going on. I've got a friend of mine. He said, I don't know if it's the Lord putting up roadblocks or the devil just trying to stop us, but pray for me. I said, I understand. Amen. I get that. I understand that. Sometimes we just want to know that we're headed in the right direction, and when everything ain't going the way that we think it should, it makes us wonder what's happening. Amen. But I do know this. God will turn the light on, as Brother Marvin I taught in Sunday school. He'll give us some insight on some things. But we know what's coming. I've read to you about what's to happen. And we know that they're about to get in a storm that, can I say, that didn't have to be. And they're about to head into a storm that they didn't have to go into. And if I could preach this morning on that thought, that's what I want to preach on, is the storm that didn't have to be. You know, the storm in Jonah's life did not have to be. I mean, there are just some storms we can't avoid. Some storms is life. It just happens. It just shows up. And there's nothing we can do about it except go through it, trust God, put our faith in Him, and He'll see us through to the other side. But Jonah was the very cause of his own storm. He ran from God, and God got his attention. Can I say that some storms is made to get your attention? Some storms is not only made to get your attention, but it's to get you to do God's will. And that's what he done for Jonah. He almost had to kill him. He almost had to take him to the place to where he wasn't going to make it. But God got his attention and he went and done it. Can I say this, that Jonah done it under duress, done it under distress, and done it even when he didn't want to, he still done it. Amen. Hey, I'm going to tell you, if I'd have seen what Jonah saw, I believe I'd have done it. Amen. I mean, if I'd have spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, I believe I'd have went to Nineveh too. Reckon what God would have done next if he'd have said no. Makes you wonder some things. I want you to understand while I preach this morning, I want you to think and put this in your mind while I'm preaching and remember this one thing: they didn't have to go through this storm. So if I could preach, and listen to me, church, I want all of you to listen, but I really want you young people to listen to me today. Would to God that some folk would have warned me about some things that might have kept me in line, might have kept me in a place where I might not have had to went through some things. But notice right here, when we come talk about a storm that didn't have to be, look in verse 9. Notice what your Bible says. Now, when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. So number one, we see the admonition that is given, and he said, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt, or with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives." So he admonished them, he warned them, notified them, told them, reproved them, and said, "Look, boys, we don't need to do this." Why was he doing that? Because he could see. He could see what was coming. Can I say to you young people, there is a reason your parents, there is a reason your preacher and your Sunday school teacher tries to warn you about some things. It's because they see what's coming. Amen. They might have just already been there when they were your age. I know some of you sitting in here think your mom and dad, let me put my glasses on, think your mom and daddy don't know nothing. I was waiting for somebody to shout right there.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, mom and daddy don't know nothing. But there's a reason they are where they are. They've been through some things. They've seen some things. And if they're following the Lord, they're trying to warn you of what's coming down the pike.
Amen.
Trying to warn to keep what? Out of trouble. Trying to warn to keep them from getting hurt. Trying to warn to keep you from losing what you have. You know what makes me preach the way I do? One, I'm called to preach. I believe the preacher ought to preach. I love the Lord. I believe he gives me the messages when I pray. But I preach because of you.
Amen.
When we had the ordination the other day for Brother Jonathan, and it took me a while, and I told you all this during the ordination, it took me a while to come to. I loved preaching. I've always loved preaching. Since God called me to preach, I love preaching. Man, I love it. I love to preach. That's what I am. That's what I do. God called me to preach, so I preach. I love to pastor. God put that desire in my heart. I love to pastor people and just be part of your life and try to help you. But I can almost remember to the day that God turned a light on in my head and in my heart that there's people sitting out here in this church needing something out of heaven.
Amen.
I remember that. It was more than just me coming in here preaching. It was trying to figure out, by the help of God and the work of the Holy Spirit, to know what to preach. Because if somebody needs something, and that may be you today, you might need something. I'm telling you, God can help you if you let him. But Paul gave the admonition. Paul gave the warning. He was warning them, said, "Boys, we don't need to go down this way. We don't know." Paul knew that it was dangerous to sail. Listen, that's why I preach. Like I preach against sin. That's why I preach and tell you that you need to be separated. That is separated out of this world. Listen, it'll keep you from getting in trouble. Are we not supposed to be warning lost people? I mean, the Bible said in Colossians 1, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." He said, look, he said, "I'm warning lost people that they need to get saved." You know what a warning is? That there's a danger ahead somewhere. You know why Paul was warning them? You know why he was giving them an admonition? Because there was danger laying out there in front of them. And he could see it. He knew that it was coming. I don't think Paul took pleasure in it, but he was warning them. Now notice what he said. He says, I perceive. He said, sirs. I mean, he was very respectful to them. He didn't beat up on them. He said, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. It's going to cost us something. It's going to cost you. We're going to head out. We're going to strike out at the wrong time in the wrong direction. And we're going to do the wrong thing. And it's going to cost us. It's going to get the lading of the ship. You know what the lading of the ship is? The lading is the cargo. So what's on the board? What's on board the ship? Going to lose it. He said, I not only believe it's going to cost us the lading, but he said, I believe it's going to cost us the whole ship. If we do this. That's a pretty big statement. That's one thing to throw your stuff overboard, but it's another if we're going to sink this boat. That's a pretty big deal. And Paul is warning them and telling them, said, this thing's going to cost us before we can get done. And as a matter of fact, I believe it's probably going to cost us our lives. What did he do? He warned them. He admonished them. But what did they do? Look at the advice that they took. Said, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Why would he do that? Well, this man is a sailor. This man is supposed to know something. And if he was supposed to know something, then you know what? Then he should have known that it was dangerous to sail at this time. I mean, that's what Scripture says right here. It says, now when much time was spent, now they've been over here in the Fair Havens for a long time, and I mean the seas are getting dangerous, and said when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already passed, talking about a time right there, he said, look, it's dangerous to do this thing. But who did they listen to? They listened to the wrong person. You know, when you do wrong and you go against what the Bible says and you go against what the preacher says and you go against what mom and daddy says and you go against what mama and papa says and you go against what your Sunday school teacher's teaching you and all those things and you do that, you're listening to the wrong person. They were in a hurry to do what they wanted to do. They disobeyed the warning that was given to them and took the wrong advice because they were self-willed, rebellious, and stubborn against what the preacher said. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. They wanted to sail. They wanted to go. All right. How many of you ever been there? God's telling you no. The Holy Spirit is screaming out in your heart and telling you, you shouldn't do what you're about to do. You shouldn't go in the direction you're headed. But in your self-will, your stubbornness, and your pridefulness, you've done it anyway. Some of you are sitting in here and would be willing to admit it if we already knew about it. But in your heart, you know I'm telling the truth this morning. Some of you have been there. And I would dare say most of us has been there at one time or another. Some's just not been as bad as others. What do you mean? There's some things that we can tell God no about, and he'll beat on us a little bit, and he'll chastise us, or he will rebuke us. Let me say it that way. He'll admonish us, and that'll help our heart. You know, God don't start out beating on us all the time. He did let them get out there in the water just a little bit. I've always said God does let folk repent. I believe they could have turned that boat around at one time or another. But nevertheless, that's always a bad thing. Nevertheless, you hear the preaching, you hear the word of God, you know what's right. The Holy Spirit is telling you what you, listen to me now, the Holy Spirit is telling you what you need to do or not need to do, but you do it this anyway. Verse 11, the master of the ship said, sail. Verse 12, everybody else said, sail. Paul was outnumbered. I mean, he was outnumbered.
I mean, he was warning them, telling them what not to do. We don't need to sell. And listen, they said it's not good to be here. It's not commodious to winter right here. In other words, it's not favorable for us to be here. Why would we want to stay, Paul? We're only going down to Phinehas. That's just you know, if you look it up on a map, that's 50 miles. It's 50 miles. From the Fire Havens down to Phinehas, that's 50 miles. And said we were going to sail close by Crete. That's what they, you know what that means? They were still going to be able to see the island. That's what it meant. And they're going to lose from the Fire Havens, even though they said it wasn't commodious to winter there. Boy, it sounds like a good place, don't it? He said, well, preacher, where I'm at right now is pretty tough. And it looks like it's only going to get worse. Let me ask you right now. When they got out there in about a day or two in that storm, don't you reckon the Fire Havens were sounding pretty good? Kind of like in the book of Ruth, when Naomi and Elimelech left Bethlehem, Judah, which means the house of bread, said they left because there was a famine in the land, and they went down to Moab to sojourn but continued there. And by the time she come home 10 years later, she made this statement. She said, I went out full, but I come back empty. They thought they were empty when they left, but she said, I left full. Didn't realize what she had till she already lost it. That's what a lot of people do. See, listen, they didn't realize what they had till they already lost it. The Fire Havens, it might not have been commodious to winter in, but boy, it sure been better than fighting that storm, wouldn't it? I mean, the preacher has admonished them and said, don't go, don't mess around with this thing. Don't mess around in that sin. It'll get you every time. Amen. You know, that was Jonah. Jonah, he told God no, and God got him. David, he messed around in sin till it got him, didn't it? You know, the prodigal thought that he had everything and had the tiger by the tail, and by the time it was all said and done, he didn't have nothing. He was broke and destitute and had to come home that way. Lost all. It's dangerous to mess around in sin. It's dangerous to be in a place where you don't belong. It's dangerous to be doing stuff that you have no business doing. And what happened was, the Bible said right here in verse 13, when they got the south wind. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. Everything was going their way. Everything looked good. Everything sounded good. Listen, we can do this. I believe this is God's will. I believe this is what God wants. I think some people just tell themselves that to make themselves feel better. Amen. I tell you right now, if it's contrary to that book, it ain't God's will. Preacher, you've been awful hard this morning. I don't know if I'm being hard enough. Because I'm going to be honest with you. We've got young ones coming up, and they're going to face some decisions. Or if they're not already facing some already, and there's going to be some choices that they're going to make or have the opportunity to make, and I want them to make the right one. I want them to be warned about what's out there. I want them to be warned because there's going to come a day, Mom and Dad, that you're not going to be there to help them. You're going to have to let them stand on their own two feet. And I beg of God, pray of God, that, man, that these words that I've preached and that you've instilled in them and Sunday school teachers have put in them, that, man, that stuff will ring out in their mind and in their heart when they get that choice. You better be very careful who you listen to.
Amen.
Everybody wanted to go. Master of the ship wanted to go. Centurion was happy to go. The south wind blew. Can I give you all young people a piece of advice? Would you take it from the preacher? Do not, listen to me now. Listen to me. Do not take life advice from people your own age.
Amen.
They don't know nothing about life. Don't know nothing about life. Don't know nothing. You don't know how to raise teenagers? Go talk to Paul and Heather or Brother Jeff and Sister Beverly. Go talk to Bobby and Linda that's already raised some. Brother Lewis and Miss Brenda. Go talk to them. They tell you about it. As one preacher said, I'm not sure if they'll tell you anything. I mean, they've got them raised and it's, you know. I don't know how it all happened. Take your Bible and go to 1 Kings chapter 12. Why I say not to take life advice from your peers and from people your own age. Because I just hate to tell you they don't know nothing. And you don't either. And I don't mean that hateful or ugly. But you've just not lived life. You've just not lived life. They some things, and I'm going to say it again. Y'all have heard me say this 1,000 times. But I'm going to say it again. And this used to make me so mad. They just some things you can't know until you just experience them. You no matter who tells you what, you just won't understand it. I want you to look in 1 Kings chapter 12. Look in verse 1. All right, Solomon has died right here. His son Rehoboam is probably about to ascend to the kingdom, or he has. But Jeroboam, which was one of Solomon's servants, if I could say that, he's been on the run from Solomon, been in Egypt for a while. Now, Solomon is dead, and God is about to divide the kingdom. But I want you to see what happens. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel will come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt. Now they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father, and this heavy yoke which he put on upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived. Now, who's he talking to? Those men that have stood with Solomon. Those men that have heard Solomon. Solomon's age. Men that is older than Rehoboam. And he said, How, in verse 6, how do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, be humble, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But look what verse 8 says. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. So who's he listening to now? The young men that are his age. And here's what they say. And he said unto them, What counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, Make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy. But make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now whereas my father did laid you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, Come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him. And spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, What portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel, now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. What happened right there? They didn't want Rehoboam ruling over them. So you know what they done? They up and bailed out. So I didn't know you could do that. Yep, you could. And you know what the old man told him? The old man said, if you'll just be good to them, be a good king to them, they'll serve you forever. But he wanted to listen to them young men that didn't know nothing about ruling a kingdom, that didn't know nothing about dealing with people, that didn't know nothing at all. And you know what it cost him? Cost him most of the kingdom. You better be careful who you listen to. You better be careful who you take your advice from. You better be careful being around your friends and listening to them talk about life. Because I'm just going to tell you, they don't know. They don't know. Get around somebody that's lived life and sit down and be quiet and listen to them talk. One of the best things I love to do is go over to the nursing home. You know, I go every Friday, preach to them, sing to them, preach to them. But then if you'll sit down and you catch them in their right mind, and you sit down and just let them talk, you'll learn something.
Amen.
You'll learn something. You'll learn something about life. You'll learn something about the Lord if you'll just sit there and listen long enough. So what happens? They took the wrong advice, but look at the anguish that set in. Anguish is distress and extreme pain of the body and of the mind. Notice what the Bible said. They set sail in verse 14, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called a Euroclodon. We think of it kind of like a hurricane, if I could say it. And the Bible said right here, and when the ship was caught, I've got that underlined in my Bible, that boat was caught. Couldn't get out of it. Couldn't get away from it. No matter what they did, that storm caught that boat. You know what he said right here? He said, and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. They couldn't control it. They couldn't hold it still. They couldn't put it in the direction that they wanted to get that ship out of that storm. You know what he said? We had to let her drive. You know what that means? It was out of control. That means that ship was doing whatever it wanted to do. It was going wherever it wanted to go. And not only was it headed in the wrong way, if I could say that, but not only I have to let her drive. Notice what it said right here. I said, couldn't bear up. We let her drive. I said in verse 16, there's much work to come by the boat. I said, then when they had taken it up, they used helps undergirding the ship. You know what they done? They throwed a rope from one side of the boat and strung it across and throwed it to the other side, and they began to undergird this ship with multiple ropes up and underneath that thing. Why? To hold it together. Not only is it out of control, but it's about to fly apart. I'm talking about a storm that did not have to be, because they did not listen. Here they are. I don't know what God's trying to deal with you about. Maybe there's some sin that you need to deal with. Maybe there's some direction that you're headed and God's trying to get your attention. He said, hey now, whoa, stop. Because if you go long enough, far enough, that storm will catch your ship and catch your boat. And now it's out of control and it's about to fly apart. You know, that's what a storm does, ain't it? Let me ask you something. You ever been in a storm that was not your fault? I have. I mean, I have been in life's storms. Christianity's storms. They come. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes you just feel like your little boat is going to fly apart. How are we going to hold this thing together? Now, I'm glad the Lord will help us. And no, amen. Even when it is of our own making, the Lord will help us. If you want it. So what happens? They're tossed to and fro. The boat's coming apart, it seems. They're afraid they're going to fall into quicksands. Man, fear is just running rampant. They're afraid of everything right now. The boat might come apart. What are we going to do? We might end up in quicksand. What are we going to do? We can't get to where we're going. What are we going to do? We can't control this thing. What are we going to do? Don't you think they were fearful? They're having to throw everything out. Verses 18 to 19, they cast out tackling. They cast out stuff that the ship needed. They were holding on to that lading right now. You know, tackling has to deal with the ship. deals with the ropes and chains and the undergirding and their sails and their masts and all that. Deals with the ship. So they're throwing it overboard first. You come on over here in the latter part of the chapter and you'll find out in verse 38 that they throw the wheat out also. They did lose the lading. You know why they're here? All because they didn't listen. That's why they're here. They didn't listen to the preaching. They didn't listen to the preacher. They didn't listen to the admonition that was given. In verse 20, you know what Paul said? He said, many days we've not seen the sun or stars and no small tempest laid on us. Man, this was a big storm. This ain't no little something. It's God us. By the way, if you go on over and read in the latter part of the chapter, you'll find out that they were at 14 days. 14 days and nights. Man, they fought this storm. Could you imagine that? At least 14 days they fought this storm. Can you imagine being on a ship in the middle of the ocean for 14 days and 14 nights? They're fasting at this point according to the scripture. And this thing is getting tossed to and fro. 14 days. Not seen the sun. Ain't got no hope that you're going to come out of this thing. Can you imagine that? Think about being in a storm. Do you ever reckon that they thought back and thought, Paul said I shouldn't have done this. Have you ever been there in the middle of the storm that you've created and said, well, the preacher warned me. Mom and Daddy warned me. My friend warned me. Mama warned me. Told me not to do this. I read it in the Bible. Told me not to do this. Here they are. The boat's about to fly apart. They can't get control of it. All hope. Notice what he said. All hope. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. That's a bad place to be. To lose hope. I mean, Paul's saved. I have no doubt that Aristarchus is saved. Luke is saved. I don't know if anybody else on this ship is saved. I don't know. And by the way, let me say this. Their bad decision involved everybody. You look over in verse 37. There was 276 souls on that ship. You say, preacher, it does not matter what I do. One, you're wrong. Yes, it does. And it involves everybody you're around.
Amen.
You may not think so. You may not think it's going to go down that way. But I'm just going to tell you, it involves mom and daddy. It involves your husband and your wife. It involves your preacher. And it'll involve this church if you let it. Preacher, do you know something I don't know? Now, I don't know a thing. I don't know a thing. I just know what I'm supposed to preach this morning. They're not going to get out of this one. And everybody's involved because somebody made a wrong decision. But I want you to look at the assurance of the Lord. We didn't read this part a few minutes ago, but notice, you know, the Bible said in verse 22, Paul said, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you. Boy, that's a wonderful thought. But then he said this, but of the ship. You ain't going to die, but we're going to lose everything else. Look in the prior verse. Man, he had to be a Baptist preacher. He had to be. Because you know what Paul said after a long abstinence? Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. You know what he said? I told you so. I told you so. You should have listened when I told you so. You wouldn't be here and I wouldn't be here. But I told you so. So God comes by, sends his angel. You can read that right there. God sends his angel by, told him to fear not. He's going to get to Caesar. And he said, wherefore, in verse 25, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me.
God sent some help. We're all going to make it, but the ship ain't. I want you to look in verse 24. Look in verse 24 and see what God told him, saying, "Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." Do you know why they made it? Because Paul was on board that boat. God gave him those souls. You know why only some people make it through the storm that they created and didn't listen to, and somebody could stand before them and say, "I told you so, don't do that." You know the only reason they made it through that storm is because somebody that was praying for them, somebody that loved them, somebody that just interceded on their behalf to God, some mama, some daddy, some sainted grandmother, grandfather, some preacher, some Sunday school teacher, somebody in the church, somebody that loved them and wanted them to come through that thing, and God had mercy on them, and that's how they made it through. Looking at the end of this thing, verse 41, there's a lot to this story. I could preach for hours and hours just here, but I need to quit. And falling into a place, talking about the ship now, here we are, we're at the end of it. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the fore part stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the wave. They're still in the storm. I mean, enough to break this ship apart. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. Where are they going to swim to? I mean, they're in the middle of a storm. Where are they going to swim to? They already wore out, man. They've been dealing with this for 14 days at least. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which should swim, they could swim, should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Well, see there, preacher, they made it. Oh yeah, they made it. They made it. But look at everything they went through to make it. And they ain't even home free yet. You got to read the next chapter. Well, notice how they come in. Man, they have spent days without eating. They have spent days in fear. They have spent days in fighting a ship and a storm that they didn't have to. And here they are. And now you get down to the end of it and you hear that they're thinking about killing the prisoners. That would have to be a little fearful, wouldn't it? Go all that time and fight that storm, and now they're going to kill us at the end of it all. Paul, you said we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Don't worry. But notice how they made it. They made it without the ship. The ship didn't make it. That's what Paul told them. The lading didn't make it. That's what he told them. You know how they come in? They had to swim in. They come in on boards and broken pieces. Now, I thank God for the boards and the broken pieces that you can get in on. I'm thankful for that. Thankful for that. But here's the title of the message. It was the storm that didn't have to be. All they had to do was listen and obey.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads this morning. I'm just trying to keep you out of trouble. Brother Lewis, would you care to come to the piano? Brother Jeff, let's get a verse of invitation if we would, brother. Would you listen to the admonishment this morning to stay away from sin? Would you listen to the admonishment to not be self-willed and stubborn and doing your own thing? It's going to get you in trouble. It's going to get you in trouble. Don't go your own way. Follow the Lord's way. Listen to what the Lord has to say. Listen, you don't have to be young to mess this thing up. We preach to young people thinking that they're going to mess everything up. I'm glad young people can serve God, follow God, and do what He wants them to do. I'm thankful for that today. But like I said, they're facing so many decisions. But what about you today? Are you where God wants you to be? Are you headed in the wrong direction? Headed in the wrong way? You don't have to be. You can stop right now and get headed in the right way before that storm comes. Maybe you're in the middle of a storm. Maybe you're there now. Maybe you feel like your boat's about to fly apart. I'm going to tell you, once you come beg God to help, say, Lord, I know it's my fault that we're here. I know it's my fault. Lord, I want to make some things right with you. I'm sorry for what I've done, what I've caused, what I put my family through. God will help. He'll help. If you're unsaved this morning, I want you to know Jesus loves you. He wants to save you. You may be in the midst of a storm right now. And he may be turning you upside down. Why don't you come and trust him? Why don't you come and find some help in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him as your Savior? He wants to save you today.